Oh, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 16th, 2022, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We're still in the chapter, Bill's Story, and we're on page 10 today. We're going to unpack paragraph 2 and 3, and it begins with the wartime day in Old Winchester Cathedral came back again, and ends with, but that was as far as I had gone. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Linda B., the 12 traditions, Carla C. Reading the paragraphs today and being support for that would be Robin P., Stephanie L., Sherry Z. Greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information, listen for Leah S., please. And then announcements this morning will be Eileen M. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 19074, 19,074, and that was for Wednesday, June 15th, 2022. And then for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that happened just this morning, that share ID number is 19076, 19,076 for Thursday, June 16th, 7 a.m. meeting. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie. Hello, my OA fellows. I am Linda B., a compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Linda B. from Canada. I will now ask Carla C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. This is Carla C. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting our other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. And this is Carla C. in California. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carla C. in California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And this means a star 1 key function only, please, for your muting purposes. That helps with the recording as well. Thank you. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book and Bill's story on page 10. We're at paragraph 2. We're going to read two paragraphs today in its entirety. The wartime day in Old West Winchester Cathedral came back again and ends with, but that was as far as I had gone. We're going to comment and unpack those two paragraphs, please. And I'd like to then ask Robin P. to start us off by reading those two paragraphs and sharing her experience of recovery through those, and then we'll open it up for the rest of the fellowship to be able to share. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Melanie. Thanks so much for your service, as always, and everyone else who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. That wartime day in Old Winchester Cathedral came back again. I had always believed in a power greater than myself. I had often pondered these things. I was not an atheist. Few people really are, for that means blind faith in the strange proposition that this universe originated in a cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. My intellectual heroes, the chemists, the astronomers, even the evolutionists, suggested vast laws and forces at work. Despite contrary indications, I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay all. How could there be so much of precise and immutable law and no intelligence? I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation, but that was as far as I had gone. So I grew up a Jewish atheist. I was Jewish by belief, by birth, and, you know, I was my blood, you know, we were Jewish, but we were atheists, and my dad was a very proud atheist. it was very confusing because his mother used to call him Little Jesus. So the whole thing was ironic. I came into the program, as I've said before, and I saw God on the walls originally when I first came in years ago in New York City at the Moravian Church. And I ran out thinking, I'm so desperate. I was such a low-bottom, bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive overeater. And I just couldn't believe that I needed help so badly and that there was people, in my opinion at that time, substituting one crutch for another. And I just thought, this goes against everything that I really need help. And someone mercifully said to me, just any power, any higher power greater than your disease, any higher power greater than when you want to turn to the food, just something that's more powerful than turning to the food. And because food was my God, food was my everything. Food's what I ran to every moment. When I had a feeling, literally a feeling came up. And so it was a miracle. It was my bridge to God. And going through this program, and then I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety. I asked and God answered. And ironically, I was co-starring in a biblical musical and as a Jewish atheist, really becoming more agnostic. And had I just one day got on my knees and said, okay, God, if you exist, please show me your will and help me to do it. And a series of miracles happened over the next couple of days that, they were literally miracles and God answered. So I always say, just ask and you'll get your answer. You know, eyes to see, just keep praying for eyes to see and ears to hear. And I also wanted to say, I also really believe in hitting bottom. And if someone's stuck out there, just pray to hit bottom, because we just get to come to the end of us thinking that we're in control, and that illusion of control over anything, over the food, over people, places, and things. And that's when we can surrender and turn our will and our lives over to the care of God and pray only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. It's so simple and so profound. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin P. from Costa Rica, for getting us going this morning. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2 and 3 on page 10 of the big book. Starts with the wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back again and ends with, but that was as far as it had gone. I'd like to take a number of folks that would like to share on this, on these two paragraphs. First name, first initial of your last name, and your state, please. And although we do respect everyone's experience and enjoy that very much, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that the others on the line might be able to share as well their experience. Okay, I'm ready.
Lorraine Helen E. Helen C. in Northern California.
Is it Lorraine E.? Mm-hmm. And somebody else in Northern California.
Helen C.
from New York.
Ellen, and I got you, Wendy. Ellen. Ellen or Helen?
Helen
G from New York.
And I got you, Elaine. You're number 4, Elaine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Lisa N., Wisconsin.
Something N.
Lisa N., Wisconsin.
Lisa, gotcha, Wisconsin. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I heard another one.
Jordan L.
Oh, hi, Jordan. Okay. Did I got you all?
Becca R.
Becca. Okay. Okay. Let's go with that lineup. Looks like I have Lorraine E., Helen C., Wendy B., Elaine G., Lisa N., Jordan L., and Becca R. So we're going to start off this morning with the additional sharing with Lorraine E. Your 3 minutes will start just now.
Hi, this is Lorraine E. from Washington State, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks, everyone, for your service. And yeah, when I hear this reading, I think about just the foundation for me. When I first came into OA, I was really angry at the idea of a higher power. I was really resentful. I didn't believe it. I thought it was all made up. It wasn't until I actually took that leap of faith. I started working the steps and I started taking directions from my sponsor, where I really had so much fear about doing what I was told, letting go, doing things in a new way, really just letting go of all that control. And for me, letting go of all that control of people, places, things, food, that was a huge leap of faith. You know, that was where I walked that bridge from not believing anything to fully believing, because when I took that leap, when I let go of control and I surrendered and I relied on my higher power, everything worked out, and everything still works out when I fully rely, when I fully surrender. And when I get back into that control mode, and I become irritable, restless, discontent, I have to surrender again. I have to have that faith in a higher power. I can't do it alone. I don't have the power. That's basically it. I am powerless. I have no control over anything. And so I need something greater than myself, higher than myself to rely on. Without that, I'm just dead in the water. You know, I can't actually take these steps. I can think about them, reflect on them, analyze them, but I can't really do them. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much for everyone's service today. My name is Lorraine E. from Washington State. Pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine E. from Washington. Next up is Helen C. from California, and then following Helen will be Wendy.
Good morning, everyone. This is Helen C. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Always so glad to participate in these meetings and to have found this group, and to have been led here by my higher power. First of all, I just want to say I'm always so moved by the eloquent, poetic writing of this book. I mean, to me, when I read this book, there is no denying that it's divinely inspired. And I just love what it says about, you know, the universe and how can there be no intelligence, and everything is just orchestrated just so. And for me, what I put out in the margin was that it's a benevolent force that that, you know, is ordained to run the show. When I was a little girl, I thought God was against me. I had this persecution complex, and it still remains to a certain degree, but I thought, how could all these terrible things be happening and there's a God? So I just renounced any kind of, I was very angry with God. And, you know, I heard in the rooms for years people's spiritual awakenings and their experiences. And, you know, I was so jealous of that because I thought, that's never going to happen for me. You know, you just think, how can that happen? And it has. It has happened for me. Today is day 22. The compulsion to overeat and binge and purge was literally removed from me 22 days ago, and I have never, ever had that experience. And so how can I deny the benevolent force that has come into me and taken that away? I'm so moved by all of it and so grateful for it. And I still, there's a part of me that just feels like I'm in a dream. But I never want to wake up, and I'm willing to do the work that my sponsors asked me to do, to stay abstinent and open myself up to prosperity and to God's will for me, and to living, you know. I want to live, and the food has been the albatross around my neck that keeps me from living. And so I'm just so grateful to be here. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Helen from California. Next up is Wendy B., and then Elaine G. will follow Wendy B., and you'll find us on page 10, unpacking paragraph 2 and 3 today. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and thank you so much for the beautiful shares, moving shares. So it says, you know, I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe who knew that neither time nor limitation, but that was as far as I had gone. So, you know, my piece as far as I had gone was for me, my acknowledgement of a creator of the universe with the birth of my first child, you know, experiencing, you know, the miracle of giving birth, you know, of having a child that was part of me and also part of my husband, you know, formed into a unique being of her own. You know, she was just so perfect, you know, all of her little fingers and toes working perfectly, and just the somber look, you know, in her eyes as she studied me, you know, while I was studying her, and just the feeling of love that welled up within me, you know, the God-given ability to care for her and be a mother that wasn't in me before. And, you know, and even all that, you know, real awareness of God, you know, didn't help me surrender my will at that time. You know, I still went on to live a very self-centered life. And I did a lot of damage to the precious children God gave me. And I went on, you know, after my second child was born, to have two abortions because I was too busy to make time to care for more babies. And, you know, years later, when I acknowledged, you know, what I had done and repented, I thought I gave my life over to God then, but I still went on to live in my various addictions, you know, serving other gods, you know, of self-gratification, until I finally came into program, you know, and learned about the big book and went through the steps. And I finally really surrendered, you know, to my creator, to let him run the show and have his will instead of constantly pushing for my will. And I'm just so grateful for program, you know, and its plan of action that teaches us, you know, how to live, you know, in a God-centered life. You know, how to turn our will over and what that really looks like, and all the examples of living that way that you hear in the voices on this line. And I'm just so grateful. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. Thank you. Next up will be Elaine G. from New York, and then Lisa N. will follow from Wisconsin. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine from New York. About the higher power, all I know is that before I came into OA and my family, you couldn't even say God. No, you couldn't even say it in the household. My father, if I would say, God help you when he was sick, he says, why are you saying that? You know, but he became becoming godly now. But anyway, in my family, the only time I would pray to God would be if my mother got sick, somebody got sick, you know. And when it came into program, it's like, I learned how to reach out to God and even for the food. I thought I couldn't do that, you know, for the food. God's not going to want to know about the food. But, yeah, in the middle of the night, when I wake up and I'm ready to go in the kitchen there, I ask God, help me not to go in that kitchen. If I'm going in there to get water, let me get in the kitchen, get the water, get the hell out of there. That's what I say. Sometimes, you know, like when I don't reach out to God, I end up in the kitchen and in the refrigerator. And then I say to myself, why didn't I reach out to God? Because I guess I wanted to do my own will. But, you know, doing my own will, I mess things up when I do my own will. You know, having to do with my back. I know because I had a bed fall, you know, coming in through my apartment door with my walker. Where am I really going if I'm in pain here? You know, my friend's trying to convince me to go into the city. No, but a little voice is telling me in my head, this is not a good idea. Soft, gentle voice in my head, you know? That's about it for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. from New York. Lisa N. from Wisconsin, you're up now. And then Jordan L. will follow.
Good morning, and thank you, moderator, for your service. And thank you, everybody, for the wonderful shares this morning. I guess what stuck out for me first was I had always believed in a power greater than myself. So I was just like Bill. I had often pondered these things, which I did even as a child. I was not an atheist. And the only thing is, my intellectual hero, I didn't have intellectual heroes. My mother was my hero, and she was mean to me. And so she, even though she was my higher power, it wasn't a healthy higher power. I needed a different higher power. And I had a lot of dreams. I was overweight as a child. And so my dream was to be thin, but mostly healthy. I remember as I got older thinking, I almost want to be like a health nut. And I don't mean that I want to be a nut, but I didn't know how to describe it then. And because I was thinking about food continuously, and it was just, that was almost the worst, the constant thinking. So my dream was realized with this program, and I would have never thought that a dream like that could come true. It was a dream. I just thought that it was a dream. But this program actually made it happen. And so it was actually lifted off of me. I had no idea. And so I guess what my thinking, I have to know that my thinking is what got me in trouble. And so I need to depend on the thinking of a higher power, to tell me what to do. And I hear it. And I know it. This morning I wanted two great big of something for breakfast, and I put them back because they were healthy, they were abstinent, but they didn't need to be the biggest. I always wanted the biggest and the most. So I guess I'm very grateful today. So thanks again, everyone.
Thank you very much, Lisa Ann, for your share. Lisa Ann's from Wisconsin. And though we do respect everybody's value everybody's experience here today, we do want to make sure that you share every third day and that we're studying today paragraph 2 and 3 in our big book on page 10. We're going to open it up for more comments in about 6 minutes, so get ready. I think that's what I was mumbling and jumbling about to get to. But first up, before then, we're going to listen to Jordan L. for 3 minutes and then Becca to follow.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Mel, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. I found this paragraph very moving this morning. So prior to coming back into Overeaters Anonymous, I got abstinent. And I mean, like, I got abstinent. I was, like, completely and totally free from sugar and flour, like 100%. And this had taken a couple of years to get to this point, but I was, like, completely and totally free. And on this really regimented, structured food plan and losing a bunch of weight and, like, riding high, my problems were solved, every last one of them, you know? Like, I had just known if I could lose this weight, then my problems would be solved. I would be good. There would be no reason to compulsively overeat ever again. There'd be no reason to eat sugar or flour ever again. I was good. I had, like, figured it out. I had solved the problem. And then I hadn't. And then, like, I relapsed. And I fell back into the food in a really, really cunning, baffling, and powerful way. That I didn't even realize, I couldn't admit to. It wasn't like, it was scary, because I had really gone to the limits of my human powers. Like, I had really, really, I had gone there, I had gotten what I thought I needed, and then it had been taken away, or I had lost it, or however you want to phrase that, right? So when I came back into OA, I was hopeless. Like, I didn't have any hope. I thought it was interesting that the people on A Vision for You were talking about being abstinent and recovered, but I didn't really believe them. I couldn't comprehend that spirit of the universe that knew neither time nor limitation. That, like, God that could get you abstinent and keep you abstinent for years and be happy about it. Like, I just couldn't even get there until I couldn't get there until I heard others describe it and took the directions that they were telling me to take. And it turns out it worked. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. In 3 minutes, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments. Page 10, paragraph 2 and 3 today. But for now, we'll listen for Rebecca R. to come to the line and share for 3 minutes.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R., recovering compulsive overeater from Kentucky and calling in from El Salvador. And I had always believed in a higher power, even as a in my earliest memories as a child, and then coming to another 12-step program many years ago. And I always had a belief in a power greater than myself. But I don't think I ever let go of my own prejudices around people of faith, people who specifically showed through their actions what a faith looked like. It was an old belief that was rooted in judgment and old ideas. And the beautiful thing is that I have an 11-year-old daughter who is interested and curious about everything, but specifically right now she's very interested about God and about faith and prayer. And I just see it as the perfect opportunity to recognize the beliefs that no longer serve me and to let go of those prejudices. And like where the part in the book that says we see where people of religion or maybe spirituality see where they're right. And they do find a lot of comfort. And I am tapping into that now as I came back from relapse a few months ago. I'm really feeling God's grace and love, and to be able to see what he's doing, not just in my life, but in my home and with my family. So yeah, thanks for being here, and thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Becca R. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2 and 3 on page 10 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and Bill's story. I'd love to get your first name, the first letter of your last name, and your state, please.
Liz S.
B. Liz S. And somebody B.
Hannah B. Tennessee.
Hannah. Okay. Anyone else this morning? Well, let's jump right in with Liz
Cynthia
S.
C.
And we will. Okay, Cynthia.
Oh, Cynthia C. Thanks.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's jump right in with Liz S. followed by Hannah B. Hi, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S. from New Hampshire. I'm particularly moved by this paragraph because the power of the universe is very moving to me, because even now scientists are discovering aspects of the universe that are so beyond even their understanding, which, you know, helps me to understand that we don't know so much about it. And while I know that Bill used the word God in the Big Book because he believed that it was the simplest word to use, across the board. But he also knew that people, and said that people could use whatever terms, whatever was best for them. And it was several months ago that I came to my own belief that the word God didn't work anymore. And within a day, I just went from God to HP. And in that short of time, there was a huge difference for me. But there are times when I pray to the universe, and that also works. You know, in my time in recovery, and also in my life, my mother has died. I have a brother who was killed, and I never for a moment blamed any power greater myself for those things. Even now, I don't blame this power or a power for killing them or killing anyone. And I'm blessed for that I have that understanding. And I also think of the star Polaris, which used to guide sailors home. This was in the times of Christopher Columbus. Sometimes I pray to Polaris for guidance, because to me, it's all the same. It's all the same idea. I'm not it. I can't do it. And I need guidance and direction. And the last thing is, I look out at this incredible mountain of greenery and trees. I didn't create them. Some power greater than I did. And that's really only proof I know that there is a power out there greater than myself, whether it's the universe, whether it's HP, whether it's God. It's not me. That's all I have to remember. It's not me. And that's how my life has been saved. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Liz S. from New Hampshire. Next up is Hannah B. from Tennessee for 3 minutes, and then Cynthia C. will come in after that.
Hi, Hannah B., a compulsive overeater. It's great to be on this meeting this morning. This power is just everything. This power is everything. And if I don't have this power flowing through me, I die. I self-destruct and I die. And when I do, when I allow this power to access me and I allow God to move through me and operate through me, everything is wonderful. Everything's wonderful. Like, no matter what's going on, there's no circumstance that can't be, you know, an opportunity, you know, if I'm connected. But like, on the flip side of that, if I'm not connected, there, any circumstance, no matter how good life is, I don't appreciate. I can't be present for my own life. And I thank God for giving me this handicap. Like, I'm so handicapped in so many ways beyond the food, you know? I mean, the food was my first drug, I think. I thank God that I've been backed into a corner on like so many different fronts, because it leaves me no other choice if I want to have any success in any area of my life. To surrender and to accept spiritual help. And, you know, I love, the second step was probably the most powerful for me, and it continues to be so powerful because it's so ongoing. It's so evolving, you know, because we can't really limit. I mean, there's no limit to God and to our understanding and to our relationship, and that can always grow. So it's like, you know, the sweeping away of the doubt and the prejudice can be ongoing. And over the years, I've seen where I doubt and where I stay blocked. And anytime I'm in any kind of self, it always points me back to some kind of doubt or prejudice that I have where I don't let God in for some reason. Because obviously I think that I can do a better thing in self, you know. And that's such a wonderful thing about this program and these steps is that it really directs us to look at these things and lay them aside and continue to have this like opening and new experience with God and
happy time.
Thank you. I will pass.
Thank you, Hannah B. from Tennessee. Next up for 3 minutes is Cynthia C. But be aware, folks, it looks like we're going to have time for a couple additional shares after Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service and everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I came on late, and I was trying to figure out what you guys were reading, what had been read, and when I started hearing it to the second step, and I just had this overwhelming, I got this gift recently, which was, somebody said it was either on this meeting or an Al-Anon meeting or something I read, that she, that I assume it was a she, that she said, like, when she was having difficulty or needed to connect in with higher power, she just started repeating in her head the mantra, came to believe, came to believe. And that was, like, such a gift for me. I have a daughter who's home for a number of weeks, and she is challenging for me. She's just, you know, she's challenging. She doesn't treat me well a lot, and she, and it's not even about me. It's about her own, and I'm learning. I mean, part of the gift is that I'm learning that her issues aren't about me. They're about her. I didn't cause them. I can't control them, and I can't cure them. And, you know, and it's because, you know, because I was able to put down my alcoholic foods and have some kind of a framework for my food that I'm not hiding in the food today so that I can feel my feelings. And the reason I'm not hiding in the food is because I have a power greater than myself that I can rely on. And instead of every time I feel bad, you know, sticking my head in a tub of whatever, you know, I get to stop today and I get to pause. Oh my God, like what a miracle. What a miracle. I never had that. I never got that I could do that before program. And I get to stop and I get to pause and I get to breathe. And now I get to say, came to believe, for whatever reason. When I read that, I was like, oh, why would that help? I got to tell you, I don't know. Came to believe, and it just washed over me, that I came to believe that there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. You know, and so when I'm with my daughter and she's treating me poorly, I can stand my ground. My feet are on the ground. I am connecting in with my higher power. And I can have compassion because she's in pain. You know, for the first time, I can really see the pain that she's in. And it's not about me. And it's about my being able to have some compassion for the pain that she's in. But I only get that because I came to believe that there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. And then I get to turn my will and my life over to the care of that higher power. So I understand the higher power. You know, and for me, I understand the higher power as being God. And I know and I love the fact that we all get to come here and we get to have our own conception of a higher power, that we get to lean into what works best for each of us. You know, and whatever that higher power that created the universe can be maybe what we all need, you know? And for my whole life, I spent my whole life looking, thanks, to please other people so that they could be my higher power. And I'm grateful today to be grounded in the real one. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. Time will allow for two additional shares on the paragraphs 2 and 3, page 10, probably 2.5 minutes each or less, depending on how long it takes for us to press star one.
Betsy G. from Colorado.
Betsy G. Mm-hmm. Who else? I'm sure there's one more. Okay, let's go with Betsy G. and see what comes from there. Hey, Betsy, 3 minutes, madam. Everyone else, star one, please.
Thank you. I'm Betsy G. from Colorado, recovering compulsive overeater. And, God, I love this chapter, this paragraph, because I was the kind of atheist that Bill talks about, blind faith in the strange proposition that the universe originated in a cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. That's what I believed by the time I was 17. I had hated God out of existence, and I was lonely, I was angry, I was hungry all the time. And when I got to OA, they talked about God, and I left that meeting and I didn't go back for 4 years. But I did eventually get back, and I did eventually work the steps, and I did eventually have a spiritual awakening, and got to open my mind and open my heart enough to hear what people had to say. Without embracing any religion, I was able to hear what religious people said. And one gift was that a woman shared with me a retreat she went on where her preacher translated the Bible. He learned Aramaic so he could translate it. And in Genesis, he read that rather than God breathing life into Adam, what he breathed into Adam was his hunger. So Adam and all who followed were hungry for God. And so whatever I tried to fill that
just
hunger
with
that
issues,
wasn't
please.
God.
Thank you.
I'm sorry?
I just want to be take care with outside issues without quoting the good book too much. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I'll pass.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you at all in any way. I just wanted to be careful for the rest of the group this morning. My apologies, Betsy. Anyone else like to comment? We have 3 more minutes left.
Allison B.
Oh, Dana P.
Allison. I got Allison B. That probably will take it, Dana, for the 3 minutes. We'll see.
Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. Allison, you're up. You want to press star 1 real quick, I think.
Hi. Sorry, I'm getting used to this. I'm Allison B. I'm from calling from New Mexico this morning, and really grateful to be on this meeting and grateful to be reading this paragraph today. Which just reminds me once again that higher power is everything. And, you know, I'm 2 months into an abstinence, and I think part of me keeps wanting to take the control back. And I think that we have in our daily reprieve, we get to recommit every day to our higher power and all the blessings that we get from that. And I, you know, grew up believing in a higher power. I kind of went away from it when I went into higher education, and I've come back to it in my later years, and it's stronger and deeper. My connection with God is stronger and deeper than ever. And yet I still have to be reminded that I can surrender my life and my will and my power over to God as I understand God, and that I will be taken care of. And that's still for me, despite, I believe, a strong spiritual grounding, it's still a leap of faith for me each and every day. So I appreciate that how we talk about this in these meetings, in these rooms this way, because it's things that I need to hear. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for everyone's service. Thank you for this meeting.
Thank you very much. That's good timing. Appreciate that, Allison B. from New Mexico. And Dana, I'm so sorry. It doesn't look like we'll have time this morning. It is time to close the recorded sharing portion of our meeting this morning. And we'll do that by having Stephanie L. please read page 164 from the last page of our study portion of this book. And then we'll transition to the last 10 minutes of our meeting. So don't go anywhere, anyone. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Whew, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.